Hi there, welcome to Victim to Victor, the podcast dedicated to empowering abuse survivors and inspiring healing, hope and positive change. I'm Anu Verma, a published author, and in every episode I'll sit down with a guest and embark on an insightful conversation about trauma as well as practical strategies to start the healing process. So let's get started. I hope you enjoy the show. And in today's episode, I have Kimberly Bell, who's the author of The Epitome of Kimmy, which is an eye-opening memoir that takes you beneath the surface through the author's journey from a painful and traumatic childhood in kinship care to abusive relationships, as well as teen pregnancy and maturity. In this journey of life, how can you accept and embrace that which is beyond your control? How can you find inner peace and resilience through the toughest of times? It is her prayer and desire to inspire you all to learn to accept and embrace that which is beyond your control, because there is a long road ahead in life and you still have so much more to look forward to. Here is our wonderful Kimmy, all the way from Maryland. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Yes, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. And again, I'm really excited to find out more about you and for you to share your story with my listeners. As you know, it's Victim to Victor, so we're always after stories of survival, of how people overcome their adversities of the past, and also in your case, how you've overcome your trauma. So yeah.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor. So, I mean, you've got a fantastic book out there. It'll be great for you to maybe just share more about your book before we begin.
Yes, it's called The Epitome of Kimmy, and it's my journey, my memoir, my baby. So I want to publish two more, at least one more just by myself, of a collaboration of What Now, different filling in the gaps, because the memoir basically was the journey from the beginning of my life to where I'm at now, but also the foundations of all the five births of my children, the marriages that did not work, my educational years, just those foundations. So I'm excited. That will always be my baby because, like I said, that is my truth. And I came up with, as I was writing, to accept and embrace it all. So I had to get that in my spirit to be able to release it.
Yeah, and it is. And just releasing it and just penning down all of the stuff that's happened to us, you know, like in your case, it was paedophilia, child abuse, domestic violence, abusive relationships, teen pregnancy. I mean, how did you find that? Did you find that everything was coming up as you were writing?
Well, it really didn't sink in until I was writing it, and each chapter that I was reliving, I was like, wow, I actually went through this.
Yeah.
And I was able to accept, a lot of things happened beyond my control. And I had to accept that it wasn't any fault of mine, and that I couldn't, one thing, weigh the responsibility of anyone else's actions and behaviors. So that was like a kudos, an ah moment to me. It's just like, I can't live continually with this anxiety and depression because of the things that people done to me that was beyond my control, that I hold no responsibility of. The only thing I can be responsible for is my actions, how I react or how I respond to those things.
Oh, amazing. And I love that attitude. And absolutely, you're right. I mean, you know, a lot of this, it comes down to forgiveness. Were you able to forgive yourself and the perpetrators for what they did to you?
Yes.
Fantastic. Fantastic. That's important.
Yes. And my first sexual experience with my uncle, I had, I was really blessed. And it was molestation at 12, one for almost a whole year. But I was really blessed in my 20s. He sent for me to come, and before his deathbed, on his deathbed, I was able to have a talk with him and release, and you know, really ask God to help me. And you know, some people aren't given that opportunity, but I love to share that because I feel like that was an opportunity, and I was blessed to be able to when he sent out. For me to come, at first thought was, oh my gosh, you know, especially with the news that he's dying, you know, he had cancer. And so I was just like, okay. So I remember driving, and I remember my whole emotions and my nerves and jitters and all that kind of, you know, normal stuff that's happening that I'm getting ready to see him again in this type of state. And I remember just praying to God and saying, okay, God, if you gave me this opportunity, you know, I need your strength. I need you to help me with this. Or what are you trying to teach me out of this and help me and give me the words to say? And I remember looking at him, and the first thing he said to me was, which was so familiar, was, there's my baby. And I just knew, I just was like, okay, here's my chance. And so, you know, I just said, you know, I forgive you. And, you know, we talked about, you know, his, you know, afterlife, you know, if he, you know, prayed and connected with Jesus, and how did he feel and stuff like that. But it was definitely a moment of release. Now, even with saying that, it's not that I didn't still have to go through processes of at times, because he was my first sexual sort of an intimacy. Yeah. I had to deal with, well, it was fondling. It was a lot of fondling and introduction. I would say that sexual introduction. Mm-hmm. Okay. It never got to penetration because I got scared and I would always run out, but it was consistent for mm-hmm. almost a year of the introduction that had me very confused because he's still telling me, you know, I love you. No one's love you like this, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm 12. So, like I said, it's still, I had to, and with me writing that book, I had to accept and embrace, that I had to work at the processing of how sex and intimacy is created. And it's a wonderful thing, and it's a beautiful thing, and it's not a confusing thing. And it should be a loving and a wanting thing. I had to work at that to understand, in my mind, that I'm so deserving of that. Even though my foundation was broken, I'm so deserving if I accept and embrace and give these, you know, mental thoughts that sometimes, I'll give you an example, because like sometimes, as I wasn't processing it or accepting or embracing it, even being married, I would go through certain seasons that certain way he would touch me or certain things that he would touch me, my mind would transfer right back to my uncle. And I would say, oh no, you know, don't do that. You know what I mean? So I like to share that because people think once you forgive that things stop. And it just doesn't with everyone. And with me, it was a process that I work even as now of understanding and embracing my foundation of sexuality has been broken. And it's okay. It's okay at times to feel sad, but it's okay at times to understand that, okay, now you have to click into this mode that it's a beautiful thing, and it's okay. It's a beautiful thing. We all need it. We all want it. We were created for it, passionate people that, you know, have sexuality in our life, you know? So it's been a process, but it's been a process that I had to want it. Okay. I had to choose and want a life of not filled with anxiousness and anxiety, of something that was created beautifully for me, but beyond my control, the foundation was shaken.
Yeah.
So now I have to put the control back and the choice back to in my hands of now, Kim, what are you going to do about it? So, yeah.
Oh, I love that attitude. What a fantastic way to actually represent that, because you're right. You know, when your dignity and your innocence gets taken away from you, you know, in your case at the age of 12, then absolutely, you're going to live a life just fearing intimacy. And unfortunately, I know in your case and in my case, it did lead to a lot more trauma. So what happened then? So, you know, obviously your uncle.
Yeah. I really believe that opened the door for my silence cry, that I have a chapter in the book about that, because I never told my parents, my adopted parents, about this whole ordeal. Matter of fact, my adopted father died not knowing. I felt guilty. I felt shamed. And here he groomed me by knowing my background as far as being raised by not my biological parents, but my adopted parents, and acceptance. And so he manipulated that. And they allowed him to stay there by helping him with his Christianity, by his salvation. And even with prior knowing that he's had the sickness, they were in that generational era, and they were in that type of mentality that they felt like once God delivers you from something, that you're set free. And so they opened their house up to him, and he just manipulated the whole thing. So at the same time, he's manipulating on both sides. I'm feeling part responsible and then also confused, because here's this man is accepting me. It feels wrong, but yet it feels right. It's confusing, because I'm getting love that I've always yearned, but it's not the right love.
No.
Yeah.
Oh God, absolutely.
Yeah.
So then,
after he left, ironically, it was so crazy, because after he left, like I said, they never knew what was going on underneath their nose. He ended up meeting a female, and as my adopted mom said, she took him away from church. But anyway, it was probably a blessing in disguise for me, but it put me in a depression. So here I'm going on 13, and here this now attention is being taken away from me. And I got into a depression that they never knew. So I'm now wondering, my hormones is going out of whack, you know, 13 going on, 14, here my period, you know, my menstrual cycle comes on, I think when I was 14. And I felt like it wouldn't matter what I said. I didn't want to be judged if I did say anything. So I had this silence. And it started, it just kept building from the silence of being separated from my sister and being dropped off by my dad and never being reunited with my biological mother and my dad, nobody coming to fight for me, nobody coming back to get me, and no one saying anything to me. So I'm at 5 years old with this first created silence of, What should it matter? Why should I say anything? It's not going to matter what I say. Nobody's saying anything. Everybody's like, you know, really controlling my life here. So that went through my first intimacy with an older gentleman. And I didn't even really want I really didn't even want that to even happen. It was months and months that built up into that. And when that happened, that was the first time I got pregnant. But I really wasn't ready, but still had that silent cry inside that I was like, if only someone knew what I've just went through, how confused I am, where my hormones are, but it's not going to matter if I say anything. So yeah, at 15, my first sexual experience with an older guy, I got pregnant.
Oh, wow. Okay. Oh, goodness.
And that was a pivotal moment in my life that changed, you know, changed forever. I was a mom. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. And so did you stay with this guy?
Yeah, I did. And that was an introduction of physical and verbal and mental abuse. Okay. So, like I said, he was older at that time. He lied to me, and about his age, but he was out of school. I was 15. So he had just graduated. So I believe he probably was like 19. And, I stayed with him until I got pregnant again by him the second time, just before I was 18. And I talk about that in the book. By the time I had my first child at 15, and the support that I had with my adopted parents, it was more of in their generational era where I don't believe they intentionally hurt me, but they did only what they knew and how they were raised. Yeah. So they were like, you're a mom. If you were 12 years old, we don't believe in abortions. You're a mom. You're grown. You do not get on public assistance. We do not believe in that. You work, you know, so all my dreams of, you know, pretty much school and everything else was just done. It was just done. So I was in a nonchalant attitude where that's how my second daughter came along, is that I really didn't care. I really didn't care. Why should I? No one else really did that. I felt. Yeah. I know that they care now that I talk about it, but they only could do what they were taught or what they knew best to do in that generational era. And they were a lot older too. So I was pretty much raised by, you know, older people, but, yeah, so I stayed with him, and up until the second daughter came along, that was the first time that I experienced the physical. And like I said, the physical abuse, we would get fighting. I remember jumping out the car with the baby in my hands and, you know, running and, you know, just chaotic. For something within, I felt it was okay. Something within that I missed, and I didn't have the foundation, or didn't, now that I'm talking about it, that I have now chose to create in my life, the self-worth that I deserved, you know, this type of relationship or this type of treatment. And so it started to be a pattern. It really started to be a pattern that every relationship that I got into was hurtful by either physical abuse, mental abuse, or emotional abuse.
Wow. Okay. And it's funny how you say that, you know, it felt okay, because again, this is so common where we just think it's okay to be abused, because that's what we know. You know, it's okay for somebody to just use my body as an object, you know, because that's...
Or disrespect you, or, you know, hurt your feelings, or call you out your name.
Exactly.
And I will say I did see this type of behavior before I was 5 years old, with my biological parents. One of the traumatic scenes in my life that I remember and I put in my book that I will never forget is my sister and I was in the car with them, and he and my biological dad and my mother got in the worst fight ever. That was the last fight that I can remember. And he punched her all in her face, like blood was everywhere. And took us to my grandmother's grandparents' house. And that's when he took me and, took me to his sister's house and dropped me off pretty much. And they seemed like they were already prepared and ready for me. But that incident of that physical abuse at that young age, now my sister's 2 years older than me, it's just so crazy how different people internalize things, because my sister witnessed the same thing that I had and never accepted an abusive relationship. I, on the other hand, when it came to physical, you know, I don't know about emotional or mental poor, but when it came to me, the way I internalized it, and I'm 5 years old and I knew it was wrong. And I seen her crying and hollering. I froze. I was numb. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. I just remember my sister going off, trying to fight my dad and stuff. But how we as different people that is created, how we internalize and how we view things differently, and how we have to invest in ourselves to understand our self-worth, our self-esteem, and what type of life we want and what's deserving of us. So I wanted to throw that out there, because people were saying, you know, that's so true, how so many children can stay in the same and be raised in the same home and stay in the same home, but one goes, and you would think that child wasn't even raised in the same home
you see that. And especially, you know, when there's obviously a girl involved who's been abused, and maybe her brother hadn't, and then, you know, you can see the difference, because a lot of the times when you are abused, you become submissive, don't you? You become in my case, I closed up, very suppressed.
So
what happened then? Because you did finally come out of these abusive relationships, right?
After a while.
Okay, right.
After a while, I went through, like I said, four. If it wasn't physical, it was either emotional or mental. And that's why I have to get this other, you know, book out, because in between there were, you know, relationships after, you know, the divorce, and even those relationships, this last one, ended up, you know, like a grace period of emotional abuse, mental abuse, disrespectfulness. And I can honestly say that those years, looking back, I chose and I allowed it. And it was because I never took the time to invest in myself and really see this in the essence of Kimberly, how I'm created, my personality, accepting and embracing. I'm a very kind, loving, non-aggressive person. I love peace. And these things I had to take time to accept and embrace, and then incorporate in my life as now that you know what type of life you want, what is a compatibility to you? Yeah. And before, I wasn't thinking about what was a compatibility to me. I was just thinking about they want me, the acceptance, that they want me. They say they need me. I can help. I can give everything that I can of me to them. Yeah. I can make their life better.
Absolutely. And then
so that last one took it where I said, this has to stop. This cycle has to stop.
My
life is so much more worth better than this.
Absolutely, yeah. How old were you when that happened? The voila moment, the awakening?
Oh, my God, I was last year. I told y'all it wasn't even a marriage. It was a relationship that I invested 4 years in. Yeah. And it was last year that aha moment that the cycle has to stop.
It really
has to stop. The unhealthy relationships, the toxicness, the accepting that I can be drained and accept that I don't need to be poured back. No, that's not the type of life that we're created for.
Goodness.
We're created to, as much as we pour out, we should be able to be compatible with someone that can pour in, that can give you that strength.
Oh, that's such a beautiful way. Oprah Winfrey said that on one of her talks about, you know, the fact that our cup needs to be overflowing. But, you know, a lot of the times we're running on empty and, no self-care, no self-love. But I'm so glad that finally you snapped out of it. I mean, I mean, what that's freedom to me. Yeah. You're finally free.
Right. And I invest daily with myself. Like I said, I the more I invest, the more I build the relationship, the communication with God. And I'm not saying I'm always on my knees or prostrate. I don't have that time, but I build that relationship and the communication by, I love music. I listen to gospel. I listen to my spirituals. I listen to, encouraging inspirational words on, YouTube. I also I have my dad's Bible, my adopted dad's Bible on the side. Sometimes I'll go and look and read one of his favorite Psalms. Definitely when I take my baby girl to school and on my way, I'll, have that one-on-one talk with God. So, I've learned to do what I have to do that I need to do that I found out that's only can work for me. To have the life that I want.
Absolutely. Yeah.
To have the life, not that I only want that what was intended.
Yeah.
What was intended for me to have.
And I'm
now accepting and embracing my life wasn't intended to have for me to be the savior for everyone else.
Yeah.
And feel like I'm wanted by everyone. And that once I feel that that person or someone don't want me, my whole life falls apart. No, that's not the life that's intended for, that was created for me, because I found out and I embraced, guess what? I'm loved by some, not loved by some, not liked by some, but am liked by some. And that's just a part of life. That's just a part of life. And that even if, I'm not wanted. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Self-love comes a long way. Self-love.
Yes.
Oh, wow. And so did you seek any kind of therapy or any healing?
I did. I remember embracing and going to my first therapy session through one of my marriages that ended in a divorce, because it was, I think it was the third one. And it was mind changing, where it was like, you know how some people describe a divorce as like a death.
Yeah.
But the type of person that I got a divorce from was so toxic. Like it was, it was blowing my mind that I knew that I needed some assistance to understand why, I felt the way I did and was going off, mentally, and not being able to pull it together. And go through. So that was my first therapist. And it was so crazy because she didn't look like me and she embraced me. And I remember the first thing we analyzed and we built a rapport on, which was trust. And I shared with her my foundation and my beginning.
Okay.
And she was the very first one that said to me when she heard the piece of my beginning as a child, she stopped after, she let me go on. And after I stopped, she said, Kim, she said, I want to say something to you. And I'm looking at her and she said, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Wow.
And I broke. I broke down because that was the first time I ever heard someone say that to me, and another woman, and that I knew she really meant it. And it just started the healing process for her to say, I'm sorry that you went through what you went through as a child. Yeah.
That touches my heart and my soul. Just those words, right?
Yeah.
Because in a way, like, to me, I just see her as like the angel, the God, you know, the messenger, someone who was sent to you.
I needed at that time. And we I never forget, we started exploring from the beginning, and we got through it. But it was a blessing. And like I said, I advocate for it because I really don't believe, first, I know it had to be my choice to seek that.
Yeah.
To seek that help. And I did, but it was also a collaboration, a teamwork that allowed me to overcome that season of my life of that third, I believe that third marriage that did not work. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Fantastic. So what do you do today? Obviously, you know, you have your faith, which I think is amazing, because I think
faith
is everything, you know, and just having that belief in ourselves, you know, and whether that's God within you or whether, you know, he or she is a greater good, just having that. Yeah. So important.
Like you're just saying, you know, what I do now is I continue to invest in myself, give me the best gift that I can give myself. And that is investing in myself, getting to know Kim and in and out. You know, I just remember saying to someone, I've always been that kind spirit. I've been named after Kim Hughes, ironically, on the soap operas. Yeah. That's how Kim came about, the name.
Okay.
And so I remember they were telling me the story how she was interrupted. My adopted mom was interrupted by watching the stories, and she looked at me and she remembered she was getting interrupted by watching the stories. And Kim, the sweet demeanor of this lady came in her mind. And so I was like, oh, so I can see how well my personality just got, keeps blossoming. But yes, I am a very kind spirit, but understanding as I invest in myself to call a spade a spade, know what I am and also what I am not.
Yeah.
And what can be an asset to what I know that I'm already am. Yeah. It's just beautiful. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm a very generous person. I'm not selfish. I love giving, but also I know that I love to attract those type of people too.
Yeah.
You know, that's genuine and that's not selfish and you know. Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely.
So that investing in myself, I've learned that, you know, and I embrace, like I said, what I am not. I don't like exercising. I've accepted that this pouch is not going anywhere. I done had 5 kids. So I said, since I don't like exercise and I think gym is a joke. So what I've learned and invested in myself, I love nature walks. I love walking. I love dancing. I love, you know, with my little mini, me and her, she's 6. So we, you know, she does the skating and I'll go out there and I do that, incorporate my exercise along with what I enjoy. So it's just been a phenomenal move in a season in my life to give myself the best gift that I could ever give. And that is investing in me and knowing what works for me. Knowing what works for me and then embracing it, because maybe nature walks is not for everyone, but when you can invest in yourself and find out what works for you positively, that is like the best gift ever.
It is. And I was going to ask you as well, you know, what would be your advice for my listeners? Would you say that that's the advice, is to invest in yourself?
That is. Yes. So yes. That, yes. Yeah. It's the best gift that I have found. And that's the best gift I feel that anyone could give their self. And as you try it, I know my adopted dad would say, you know, Kimmy, if you know better, you'll do better. And he said, you know, if you've done this thing this way, be able to try something different to get different results.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's about experimenting, right?
Yes. So I'm excited. This is starting to work. I've been trying something different, and it's been compelling for me to voice it out and just along with sharing my story, that it's been a great journey thus far of investing in myself and understanding what works for me as I'm back on the dating scene and stuff. I'm embracing and understanding that sexuality has to be on the back burner. Yeah. I really need to know that person. I really want to give my time, give myself this chance and the opportunity that I've never done before to get to know them. Yeah.
It's like you're going into dating with a totally different mindset, aren't you?
Yes.
I can hear that. Fantastic. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. It's not about just, because I know that, and again, you know, with a lot of survivors, we'll always want to be liked by our partners, and we'll even change ourselves, you know, to suit them rather than actually appreciating our own worth. So I just feel like by giving to yourself, it enables you to really identify your own needs and, you know, what makes you happy, what fulfills your cup. And so I think that is the greatest piece of advice. Yeah, that is a great piece of advice. Thank you. Yes, and where can my beautiful listeners find you?
Okay, so I have a beautiful website and you'll get to see all my children and my grandchildren. And
I love it.
It's www.KimberlyAnn, the Anne with the E bell. Yes. And so my website will pretty much, if anyone would like for me to speak or, you know, get the opportunity, I love to travel. I also am starting a mentoring program where I have some sessions that I mentor on. And one of them specifically is about abuse. And then another one is about my motto, the accept and embrace it all. So it's just exciting. That website, it will also give you the name, the title of the book, and where to find it. I'm on Amazon and Goodreads. And also I'm on Facebook and Instagram, just the Kimberly Bell. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, I will be adding those links as well in the box.
I appreciate it.
Oh no, it's been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story of survival, of victory. And I just feel you've come such a long way, and you give everyone out there hope that it's never too late, you know?
Never too late. Absolutely. As you said that, you know, I'm glad to say, you know, to be as transparent and as authentic as I can be and truthful. When you were saying, when did you get the aha moment? Like last year, like I'll be 49 this year. So like you said, it's never too late. And I'm just so glad and so blessed to be able to inspire someone to look at that. Don't look at the age. Don't look at the where you have been in your life or how many times the repeated cycle has happened. It's never too late to make a change. You just have to make the choice. You just have to make the choice to choose you. Because that was the best thing that I could ever do for myself, is finally choosing me despite of, you know, the past, despite of the unexpected situations, that the unexpected outcomes, because I didn't have a fairy tale ending, and it'll tell you in the book. I didn't have a fairy tale ending. I still don't have a relationship with my biological mother. Would I want it? A fairy tale ending? Everyone wants a fairy tale ending. Yeah. But guess what? When I chose me, I'm able to deal with those unexpected outcomes. And it's okay. I'm saying it's okay.
But there's your ending right there. You chose you.
Fantastic. Yes, that's my fairy tale ending.
I think next we should all start to get married to ourselves and, you know, really have that amazing ending. Yeah, it's right. Cheers to that. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much again. It's been an absolute honor having you on. You're an absolute ray of light.
It was a pleasure being on with you. Thank you so much for your love and your support for having this platform for us. Yes. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Thank you. And listeners, again, we love you. If you have any questions, please do get in touch with myself or our lovely Kimmy. And until the next episode, I shall let you be. Keep sharing your light, everyone. We love you. Stay empowered and stay blessed. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Victim to Victor. Subscribe so you don't miss out on new episodes. And be sure to follow the podcast on socials to keep updated on what's next. And share Victim to Victor with family and friends to help grow the community and spread the positive healing energy.